Showing screen. Let us know if you can see me now. So probably we were typing the pressing on the wrong thing.
I can see you.
Yes. Why can I see you? I want to see you, my lovely people. So here you go. Here I am. I don't like the way I look, really, especially that it's staring at me. But I'm happy that you're here, as I mentioned before. Yes?
Yeah, it's sharing the whole desktop now, too.
It's sharing the whole desktop.
Yeah.
Concentrate on me and more what I have to say. And then, obviously, this is kind of a tryout thing, so we learn, you know, as we get along. So, but I'm happy that I see you, and I'm happy you let me know if you do or you don't. So, as I said before, today it's going to be a little bit more of general. I'll talk a little bit about grief as to my experience over the years working with grief. People that lose people, why we die young, and you know, a little bit of our blueprint, as I call it, meaning the details of the life. And I already got emails with few questions throughout the day. Please feel free to email Clayton here if you have any questions. So I'll kind of pick and choose one that question or remark that I think everyone going to benefit. Obviously, I won't be able to get to everyone, but I'll try to choose one that has to do with today's teaching. So first and foremost, you know, I tell, when I work with grief with people, it's very, very obvious as to their ability to overcome grief, people that are spiritual and people that are not, or people that are religious. The reason for that, because if you are not relying on the fact, with of course, with what I do as a medium, it is a fact of the continuation of the soul behind the death of the physical body. So if people that lose someone close to them, specifically, unfortunately, parents that lose children, and do not have that belief, that authentic belief, that indeed at the time of death, the soul exits the body and crossed over to the spirit world, as well as usually, we will get into it a little bit later, but for the most time, we do exit planet Earth when we're supposed to exit, meaning when our soul predesigned the time of death. So when you have that strong belief, that authentic belief, that your loved one, despite how it's looked, whether it was tragic, despite the age, 7 years old or 70, that no one died in vain, in a way that there is a reason for the passing from the soul perspective, of course, not from our mind, which will never be okay for us to lose a 7 years old or to lose a parent or a sibling or a dear friend. So from the soul perspective, there is a reason as to why we die and the way we die and the time of death. So when you have that strong belief, you can rely on that, and it's appear that grief can be lessened when you authentically know that your loved one are still there with you after the death of the physical body, as opposed to people that do not believe. And now I know that usually people that don't believe would not really rush to a medium. Nonetheless, with the people I work with over the years, of course, I do come across people that don't believe, that perhaps curious as to what reading is. Sometimes, you know, family members send them and they kind of want to see what it is. So they don't believe in the continuation of the soul after death. They believe that once their loved one died, they die. So those people naturally will have a much more harsh grief process, because how difficult is funeral? Just the concept of it, of your loved one being lowered to the ground, or, you know, I mean, or cremation. I mean, how difficult is that concept? So naturally, when you think this is the end, your loved one is 6 feet under, as opposed to the soul, the immortal soul, simply exit the body and continue on. So naturally, it's very logic that the grief for those group of people, as opposed to those group of people, will indeed be completely different. The reason also I use the phrase religion as well, because when people are too religious, religion, I always have a hard time between religion and religious. Even when I wrote the book, I always have a hard time with those two, so I might be mixed the two. When people are too religious, they're a little bit rigid in a way that they can interpret the person that crossed over life. For example, if the person that crossed over was not Christian and didn't happen to believe in Jesus, then they might interpret the passing as to the person being punished by God, or if it's a God forbid a suicide. So if the surviving family are religion, then they often interpret it as a sin, which is, as a side note, of course, is the one of the most leading misconception of religion. And I know that because of my own religion, Judaism, that I know that when people kill themselves, the body do not even get buried in the cemetery, they buried outside, because there is a connection with the rigid rules about God being upset at them and going to punish them, where in fact the souls of people that cut their life short get the most love, the most attention, although they go through a different afterlife process that the rest of the human souls goes through. And nonetheless, those souls do get a lot of love, a lot of attention, and a lot of extra healing because of the act of the suicide, in a nutshell. So the point about the problem, if you will, about it, and interpret what the rules and the rigid regulation of the religion and apply it to the passing, and which of course once again make the grief process very heavy and super sad, it take longer. So the point of all that, I always tell people, it's another major reason as to why you want to switch your life to become more spiritual, to entertain the idea of the continuation of the soul behind the death of the physical body. If you are religion, fantastic. If you want to go to Sunday church and praise the Creator, that's really great and beautiful. But I always like to mention events, and when I talk with people, is that you kind of want to be careful about the rules and regulation that most religion have, all religion have, that I believe was written by human beings throughout the years and was misinterpreted from the original base of one energy being, one creator, and everything have to be based on love. So, you know, you have to, might want to take the good out of the religion, leave the bad, and then mix in spirituality. So first and foremost, once you dive into spirituality and the concept about the spirit world, life after death, even if you are new to that, educate yourself. I mean, obviously reading is kind of a shortcut, because in a reading I often provide detail that the person is not dead, they're just there. I mean, things that the medium cannot possibly know other than hear it from the departed person. So reading is a good way to kind of dive into spirituality or to entertain the idea about life after death, other than you have to be careful who you go to, of course, since it's an industry like all others. And I always tell people, get referral as to what medium you go to. Again, just a side note. Other than that, you can read books. Again, be careful about the authors. Make sure they're authentic books. Meditate. Start. The point is that you want to try to train your mind. I'm talking if you're not spiritual so far, as to the idea that we are not dead. You know, I often tell people in my work that I don't even use the phrase death or dead. It sounds so harsh to me because, of course, over the years, when I work with grieving people and they come to my office on the phone and cry and said, and here come the beautiful soul of their departed people and with all its glory and happy and in peace. So the word dead is kind of, I really try to avoid that word, and you often use the phrase when we go home or when the person passed over, crossover, but I really don't like the word dead. It just sounds to me too harshy, because there's no, of course. So if you are going to grief, if you will go to grief, if you know others that go to grief, that perhaps not as spiritual as you, then first and foremost, you want to make sure that that you educate them or try to ever so gently push them in the direction of spirituality. There is a reason why I use the phrase ever so gently, because you don't want to shove spirituality down no one's throat. I mean, this is not something you do. That's the concept of the soul being on planet Earth. We grow in our own pace, in our own time. It's frankly not our business as to how fast the other person becomes spiritual. That's considered judgmental of the ego. I don't want to spill into too many things, which I often do in events. And nonetheless, you want to ever so gently perhaps try to poke a little bit if the person is open to the idea that their loved one is not in the grave, that the body didn't just got cremated. I mean, where is the soul? What moved the body? So you want to be very gentle if you realize that the person is completely closed, and they're completely closed, obviously not ready. So what you do, you support them, you are there for them. If they feel like they want to talk about Jesus and the religion, because that's what suits them at the time of grieving, then that's what you do, of course. But if they half spiritual or are spiritual, then you dive into more into the spirituality in a way that you meditate. In a nutshell, I'm hoping to do one of the webinars in the future about meditation, and I'm just going to give you the rules how to meditate. First of all, the word meditation is, I don't know, rightfully so, it's scaring a lot of people. I don't want to meditate, Mickey, you know. I don't blame them, because the world is too many rules, and what does that mean, you know, eyes closed, open, you know. And essentially all I like to say that meditation is to quiet the mind. So you want to find time in a day where you are with you. You know, you can have loved one and husband and kids that you love very much, but we come here alone and we live alone. And you need that time to be with you. But when it's come to grief and losing people, meditation, which of course have other benefit, is that you quiet the mind and you train yourself to connect. Because once the mind is quiet, essentially, you can hear your departed loved one. It's as simple as that. Now, naturally, it's take a long time. You know, for those of you that know my story, whether about reading about it or interact with me through reading or event, I did not born a medium in a way that I taught myself how to meditate, how to quiet the mind. I was 31 years old. I'm 51 now, so it's quite a long time ago. Nonetheless, until 31, I was as far from spirituality as one can be. I was in the Israeli army as a sergeant. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home. So really, I was really far. The point is that it's a big part of my teaching now, to teach people that you can teach yourself how to communicate with your loved one / spirits, because of course I also teach how we can contact the team, spirit guides and angels, which is another topic from today's webinar. But so yes, you can do that. So at time of grief, assuming you are already spiritual and you know where your loved one go, and then dive a little bit into it in a way that quiet your mind a little bit more, perhaps raise a little bit more your meditation session. Remember, being with you, allow your departed loved one to come through to you. Now, it will take time. I did not become a medium overnight, nor did I become a medium in 1 year. It took a long time, a lot of consistency, a lot of trust and belief. I mean, it was quite a fascinating process as to how kind of that over the years I got to what I do now in a full-time job. Nonetheless, once I was mastering the ability to quiet the mind, I start sensing spirits. You know, when you sense, when you say, I know my mom is here, I know my dad is here. And then as you more and more meditate, you are able to see signs. I mean, spirits give us so many signs, beautiful signs, obvious signs. Once again, if you're not close to the overall idea of the soul of your loved one is continue on, then no sign in the world would work. Your mind would interpret it as a coincidence and have you called you or hummingbird or on and on the mind is go. Just give a reason other than what it is, which is, of course, a sign from your loved one. So, just to sum it up as to why I started to talk about the grief, that first and foremost is that grief connected or overcoming grief or handling grief. I keep looking at it. There's so many buttons here and stuff. I keep looking at it. Sorry. So the grief, of course, has to do with becoming spiritual, open to the idea of the soul crossing over into the spirit world. Now, you know that really great, all that, you know that I'm spiritual and, you know, I believe in all that. But when parents lose children, let's take that ultimate, if you will, example, which is truly the most ultimate tragedy. I cannot even comprehend that. I mean, I don't have human children. I mean, Clayton and I rescue animals, and those are my children. So for those of you who love animals a lot, you will know what I mean, that my love to my pet children is so deep. Nonetheless, which the point is, I cannot comprehend parents losing children. So the first question I always being asked, even parents that are very spiritual, they come to me after the death, they want to connect to their child, and they very much believe, yeah, Mickey, I know where they are, but why did they die so young? So I thought I will cover it, and I got a few emails today, including someone that had a stillborn, you know, which is, of course, the child. So I thought I would cover that, and you can apply the information with the example I'm giving you of parents and children to anyone that you lose, to something that don't make sense, and whether it is the age or some freak accident or the person was very healthy and all of a sudden they went to sleep and didn't wake up. So that's something that over the years I get again and again and again, where people are devastated and tell me, yeah, okay, so maybe they're there, but why did they leave in the midst of their best time in their life when they were ready to, you know, join school and, you know, just left just abruptly? So again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, when we exit planet Earth at the exact moment, as well as the manner of death, is predesigned by our soul. Again, the more spiritual you are, the more open you are, the more you will accept it. Naturally, if you did not lose anyone, easier to accept than if you did, which why I bring it up, that even very spiritual people ask me, why did my child drown when they were 7 in the pool, when I was right there? So the point is that is once again the concept of growing spiritually and be open to those concepts. Because if you're not open to the concept, if you say there is no way God will do that to me and my child will drown, then there's nothing much I can, no matter how great the reading would be, no matter how much proof, your mind is still kind of in control and it won't get through. So open your mind to the idea that when we come here, it's our soul decision. The soul or higher self, meaning the energy of the soul that within the body, that experience life on planet Earth for the sake of growth. This is the only reason why we are here. Otherwise, our soul will not enter this harsh planet and will stay in the spirit world. So we come in here for the sake of growth. A lot of people ask me, what do you mean for the sake of growth? Why does the soul need to grow? Because as souls, I often refer to us as sparks of the Creator. a part of his energy, a little bit of part of that overall energy that we call God or call the Creator. We human soul, always yearn or wish to be like him, to express more of him, to get more of his power. One in the way in which we can do that, meaning grow spiritually so we can do that, is use planet Earth, which is a very effective school, because it's so harsh, because there is a physical body and mind, the complexity of being a human being in a dense physical planet Earth. So the soul exit, enter planet Earth in order to grow, one way. There are, of course, many other ways in which we also continue to grow in the spirit world. There are other dimensions, planets that our soul go, but to grow, to express, to be more like God, not in an ego way, in a spiritual way, of course. Nonetheless, planet Earth is an effective school, which why we keep reincarnating in here again and again and again. So we, our soul, no one force us to enter planet Earth. No one tell us when to enter planet Earth. We souls enter planet Earth when we want to learn what we have to learn. We are the one that plan the life, when we're going to be born, where we're going to be born. We plan the major event, major partners. We include if we're supposed to be parents, we children, because of course with the children we also have a soul contract, as I call it. The point is that when we exit planet Earth, including the manner, is indeed include in a planning of an incarnation. So why did another thing, question that people often ask me, why would my soul choose to exit planet Earth with just horrible cancer or accident or suffering or, you know, Alzheimer's? There is many reason as to why the soul, our soul, plan the life that we now live. It's have a lot of reason. Past lives, what we were unable to overcome in past life, weaknesses that stand in the way of our soul growth. So that have to be included in a life. Karma, which I'm hoping, obviously, that's by itself, I can talk about hours, but in a nutshell, a karma is a negative energy that was accumulated by the personality in one of the lifetime, this one or previous, that stand in the way of the soul growth, in a way that the soul need to balance the negative energy so to continue to grow. So it need to pay back in order to balance the energy. So karma have to get into the blueprint, the life detail of each incarnation. So sometimes a soul would exit in a certain way because it's a karmic experience in order to balance its karmic debt from previous or current lifetime. Sometimes it's to teach other souls. Many, many times when parents lose children, like a seed, sudden infant, you know, when the baby just died in the crib, or stillborn, I think that's what it was, one of the email, I think it was a stillborn, actually. So, you know, why is that happen? Because it could be one of the reasons that the soul of the baby had an agreement, a soul contract with the soul of the parents for a specific lesson. I mean, many, many souls entered through in readings over the years, and it was fascinating as to the reason when I asked them, why did you choose to exit planet Earth at that time with that manner? And a lot of time was to teach my mom and dad, to teach the parents, to teach humanity with a certain, I mean, the point is that there are a lot of reasons as to why we exit planet Earth and when and what manner, and it has to do with the soul. And essentially, it has to do with growth. So what is that supposed to make parents feel good that they lost their child? No, it doesn't supposed to do that. You know, I mean, it's not a cold thing. It's what is. It's supposed to help grieving parent, or me as a spiritual teacher, help grieving parent to say that regardless of how it's look, how the circumstances look, even a murder or rape, everything is organized by the soul. No one died in vain. Having said that, are there accidents on planet Earth? Of course there are accidents, because we're not machines. If someone will drink and drive, they will die in an accident, or worse, killing others. So there are accidents on planet Earth, of course. Are they common? They're very, very rare. The reason they're rare, because we have guardian angel, other teams, spirits that protect and shield us. They know when we're supposed to exit naturally planet Earth and when we're being dumb. So they try to protect us, influence us. There's a lot of ways in which our guardian angel, which are very much real being, try to protect us. The problem here is that we have free will. And this is a universal law that no one can interfere. If we decide to do something reckless that will cut our life short, including suicide, our guardian angel will force to just simply move backward, which essentially that's what they do, just move backward. So to sum it up, yes, there are some times that there are accidents. Obviously, suicide is not something the soul would plan. Soul do not plan to leave planet Earth early. The opposite, the soul want to stay here every moment to utilize planet Earth, to grow from planet Earth, because it takes us a long time to plan an incarnation. So naturally, a suicide is the act of the ego, of the mind, that we're unable to take planet Earth anymore and bail out. So where are the guardian angels? They were trying to help the person. Until the act of the suicide. But the bottom line, the last decisions are for us to make, and nobody, including our last decisions. You know, and then we come next incarnation and we try to take a question, honey.
Scott would like to know why grief can be so overwhelming. Sometimes you can have a great day and then send some visit.
Got it. And honey, come and see. I have a little note here. It's kind of fun because I feel that you're right here with me in my office. I have a little bit some. Okay, I didn't want to press anything, so yeah. Thank you, Scott, and thank you for joining the webinar. You truly are lovely. And I appreciate your little note in the beginning of the webinar as well. You know, sometimes we, first of all, life is up and down, whether it is, you know, grief or we energy beings, and life is up and down. I mean, sometimes we span the energy collectively around planet Earth, sometimes our day is just up and down, and yes, including grief. When we grieve, especially right after death, we have massive amount of help, especially when it's tragic. Naturally, spirits are aware when it's a very tragic passing, a murder, or certainly suicide, or a very, you know, a prolonged illness. So we have additional spirits in addition to our permanent group of spirits that I call a team around us, as well as the departed person that would very much be, you know, near us. So when people all of a sudden feel good, you know, in a grief, and I'm happy you brought it up, Scott, because a lot of people tell me, all of a sudden I'm okay with that, and I'm just, I know where they are, I'm not sad about it, you know, so I understand exactly what you feel, because I often see that, Scott, because they do help us. Started third person, try to kind of adjust our energy. We do the more we are able to say, wow, I think that my loved one is really here. So the one that's not so spiritually aware, specifically at the time of grief, they will feel calm and more serene and more content and feel that their loved one is okay. So that up and down has to do with us. Some days we just have better days, we feel more spiritual, but mostly it has to do with spirit or the person that we love. I can ask you if I answer your questions, Kat, because I'm the only one doing the talking. Hopefully they will have some sort of a webinar next. Maybe my smart husband can figure it out where I can see you as well. Because the whole nice thing about live event, of course, is that I enjoy the feedback of people. And here, I'm like, did you understand that, Kat? But I don't know if you did. So maybe you can shoot if I kind of answer your question. But I appreciate the question. That was an important one.
Yes, very good.
Oh. You do see me. it's a little bit weird. I wanted to touch something about the severity of the grief. You know, regardless if you're spiritual or not spiritual, obviously even a spiritual person would be devastated, you know, and lose someone. You have to understand that, you know, don't take it the wrong way. So I'm going to try to, looking at my time here, so I'm going to try to explain it. So be open mind what I'm trying to say. You want to rush your grief. Now, don't take it the wrong way. Grief is a normal process. You must go through it. What I'm telling you about the soul, great, and the spirit world, what the time to go, again, it's not a cold thing. It what is. So take it as a fact, yet allow yourself to be a human being and express sadness. You should be sad. We are sad, of course. I mean, I lost my best friends and I was devastated. And I'm a medium. So, of course, it's normal. Nonetheless, the more we hold on to them, the more we cry, the more we upset, the more we remember them at the last day when they couldn't breathe and the transition, or maybe when they were ill, or when, you know, people, when they review the body, and, you know, it's holding on to them as well. There is no any difference between my mom being sad in Israel. If she pick up the phone, she say, what's happened? And I tell her, I don't feel good. I have stomachache. She'll be sad, naturally. You know, she'll call me, you know, how are you doing? You know, I'm giving you the example because they see us, our loved one, aware of our lives, with us specifically right after death. When I mean right after death, I don't mean months and months and months. I mean a couple of weeks to a month again. And even that concept is not cold. They don't leave us. It's because when we go home with souls and we see the bigger picture, I'll take another question in a minute, and we see the bigger picture as souls, and we know there's no death. Now think about not Mickey here, but Mickey in the spirit world. And I see the bigger picture, and I know I'm going to see my loved one day, and I recognize that it's something I chose, meaning the time of death, the man of death. So the perspective is different. So yes, they'll be with us often in the funeral and after, and of course, but eventually as souls, we are selfish, not in an ego way, in a spiritual way. In a way, all we want is as soul is to be one with the Creator, close to Him, express more of Him. So once we realize that the family is okay, they move forward with the grief, we move on to continue to grow. Mind you, we come in and out our loved one will come in and out our life, anniversary and Christmas, when it's like we said, Scott, when we feel, when they feel, I keep mixing me and them, when they feel from the spirit world that our grief is difficult, but eventually, as human souls, we move on and continue to grow. So when we cry, people sometimes come to me and it's years since the passing and their aura is very dim and they cry, why did it happen, Mickey? Why did it happen again and again and a guilt and more and more? And I can see the spirit behind them dim. To me, the reason I use the phrase dim in color because I assess kind of how happy, if you will, the soul is. obviously there's no mind and ego anymore. So you don't want to do that. You do want to work on your grief, so you allow them to move forward. You want to release them. You can miss them, but they don't want you to cry years and years after. I mean, you don't want to do that to your loved one in spirit. They're happy. They're back home. Let them do their thing. They're with you. They love you. They will come. They will always be with you. They will never leave you. That's why I don't use the word death, as I mentioned in the, a few minutes ago. But you do want to work on your grief through spirituality, of course. So to kind of let them go. Spirit also in reading come across and they say, don't remember my last day, the accident, the suicide, the act, the transition. Think about good times, road trips that we took and fun time. And, because that also allow, if you will, the spirit to just go on with the growth. I mean, think about good times, loving times. So, honey, what's the question? Getting panicky.
Donna York here. You still have 24 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to unmute her.
Donna? I didn't know I can talk to people like that.
Let's see. Now she should be able to talk.
Donna?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay, there.
Someone is alive, Donna.
I had a question.
Yes.
If you have a dream about a loved one that has passed, is that a way that they try to contact you?
First and foremost, Donna, don't call it a dream. It's a visit.
Oh.
And I mean that over the years, spirits would wake me up in the middle of the night and they tell me, your event tomorrow, please tell them not to call it a dream. I mean, that's how strict they are about it, as if you can recall writing in the book, not a dream, a visit. Yes, yes. The thing about coming through in a dream, dear, that it's a little bit tricky. In a way that we need to be in a really, really deep sleep. Because what's happened essentially when we sleep, deep sleep, not tossing and turning and thinking about tomorrow when you want, finally the mind is all realms, like really. Then the exit, the soul exit the body and travel to the spirit world. And essentially that's when we interact with spirit. Did you get it, Donna?
Okay, so are you saying that in the deep sleep, my soul leaves my body, so that's how I interact?
That is correct. The higher self within the body exits through the crown chakra while the guardian angel makes sure the transition go good. And there are other reasons, Donna, because that's how the soul also recharges itself, which why sleep is so important. But essentially, that is when you interact with loved one. There is also a lot of people ask me, but I had nightmare about my loved one. Then it's not a visit, it's a dream.
Oh.
Even between dream and a visit, if there is anything negative, it's your mind that interprets the death, maybe guilt about the passing, maybe your own guilt. The mind go on and on. There is never, ever an unpleasant visit when it's interaction between the souls. It cannot be. It's always present. So that's it. Thanks for bringing that up, Donna. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. That was very interesting.
My pleasure. So you got it?
Yes, I get it. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to bring real quick as well, when we talked about believing in the concept that the soul, spirituality, that the soul essentially after death go to the spirit world. If you're not spiritual, if you're religion or don't believe, when you die, you die. Some people say they're in the grave. No, Mickey, they're nowhere, Then how would you explain things that cannot be explained? How would you allow your mind, the mind said about a seven-year-old dying in a pool? That God punished the people? Then why God, the beautiful creator that loves all us unconditionally, equally, would kill one and not the other at that age? So what I'm trying to teach you here, that you have to be careful with the mind, that no, nothing of the spirit world. The mind supposed to listen or follow the five senses. Doesn't know of the soul and incarnation. It just doesn't. It's primitive. So if you don't rely on spirituality, you're taking the risk, if you will, that your mind would come up with all kind of scenario that are all negative. Guilt. You know how many people come to me and tell me, my loved one died because of me. Didn't raise them too good, especially stillborn. It's me, Mickey. I know it's me. I didn't take care of my pregnancy. Sometimes maybe that can be the case, as we discuss, if we're reckless, things happen, unfortunately, to us or someone else. Very rare. Stillborn or seed, it's all about teaching the soul. Remember, our soul is not afraid of planet Earth, not afraid of cancer. The soul don't, when we're in the spirit world, we don't say, oh, I just want 80 years. I don't want less than 80. No, the soul don't do that. It's only us here. We don't want to leave planet Earth. Naturally so. I don't want to leave planet Earth. I want to say, oh, Clayton. But the soul is immortal. We don't think about it like that as souls. What we need to learn, what time, if the soul thinks that by the age of 7, it's accomplished all it's needed to accomplish and going to teach a certain lesson to other souls, whether because it's an agreement or karma, you know, the soul will exit planet Earth. As harsh as it sounds, better than letting the mind come up with, I cannot tell you how the mind can influence grieving people when there's no spirituality to rely on. Question, honey?
I have two questions, Yolanda and then Mark. Yolanda would like to know, can a pet visit you in a dream?
Pets, God, I love them. Again, for those of you that know me and visit me in my office, that Clayton and I rescue horses and pets, and we have a petting zoo in my home, 15 different animals. Pets have souls. First, let's start with that. Of course they have souls. They're very significant to our event. There are specific pets that come into our path. The dogs that we have, I got led by through nature spirits, through Gaia, our Mother Earth, for those specific dogs. So again, the more spiritual you are, the more you're able to be open for it and accept that. So very much pets are huge in our life, to the success of the incarnation and the growth. We also contribute to their growth. Yeah, so of course they can come visit us. Pets, real quick, Yolanda, because a lot of people also grieving over pet, of course, including me, of course. So again, you apply the same sets of belief that their soul exit their body and cross over to the spirit world in the time of death. The lovely thing about the transition of a pet or the time of death of pet that is different than us human souls, there is no doubt. There is no fear. It could be fear maybe when in the vet, but then, you know, I mean, but there's no uncertainty that human beings have. What's going to happen to me? I mean, you know, who is Jesus? Well, you know, all confusing. Pet don't have that. So they see us one moment, and they see us the next moment, which is something that's always soothing to me, especially when we help them cross over, and it's such a difficult thing. Nonetheless, they're right there. Their soul literally in the body and then out the body. They don't go through processes that human soul going through, like life review and planning of incarnation. They just don't. So that's a side note, honey, from what you were asking. But yes, of course they visit us. Once again, apply the same thing and the same information we talked to Dana about nightmare. Oh, my, you know, my pet came and it was scary. That's the mind, because every interaction or rather visit, whether it is human soul or your pet, would be lovely and uplifting. So enjoy it. Another thing about dreaming, Dana too, and Yolanda, is dreams are easy to forget, naturally. So often spirit tell me to teach people, if you know you're good at dreams, I happen to not be good at dreams. It could be, I don't know, not, maybe my memories are not good. So if you know you have a visit from a pet or from a loved one, especially a repeat one, have a journal and write stuff down. Because dream, I mean, there's people that give reading with dreams. I mean, dreams is fantastic way to connect. So enjoy the visit of your pet. Very much happy and in peace. And Mark?
Okay, I'm going to try and unmute Mark. Mark?
Hi, Mickey.
I'm fascinated by it. I don't know why I'm fascinated by it.
Thank you so much. I really want to say thank you for this wonderful, informative webinar. Thank you.
Oh, God, my pleasure, Mark. As always, thank you for... I'm sure Denise is there.
She is. But she just got home kind of late from work, so she'll be here momentarily, I'm sure.
Yeah, in any case, thank you for supporting me. Thank you. You have a question?
Yes. Well, my question today... will the Earth always be dualistic and a threat? Skylar. He's excited that I'm talking.
Oh, he is excited.
Will the Earth always be a dualistic 3D planet, or do you feel that it's going to ascend to a higher level, maybe a 4D, 5D planet, and stay that way? And the reason why I'm asking this is in terms of the afterlife and how we will interact with the Earth if it does go to a 5D situation.
Unfortunately, Mark, we're far from it, because at the moment we're kind of going as a species collectively with our head against the wall. The more we go to the direction of the ego, let's call it, the more we further away from having that 5D and close to spirit when everyone can see everyone like we used to before, talk to animal, to nature. So actually, the worse we get as a species, the harsher planet Earth, for a reason, because there are more growth. Listen, either way, we're growing. You know, a lot of people ask me, why not healthy? Why planet Earth like that? Either way, we're growing as human soul. Unfortunately, we're growing through the difficult times, the difficult way, and not the easy way. You know, you open the TV and see how just chaotic everything is. But I did ask specifically the Archangel Michael that specific question, and the goal is to become like that, where everyone is a medium, when everyone sees everything. But we're so far away from it, and getting even using the phrase even detour away from it more and more. So for right now, I'm always teaching people, hopefully we can tip the scale of ego leading planet Earth to higher self leading planet Earth. And you know, energy is energy, and the good news and bad news is that negative energy can project, but so is positive energy, which why, if you can pay attention, there are more and more people like myself learn how to connect to spirit later in life. There are more and more mediums. There are more and more indigo children, the new generation, a lot of fantastic, powerful guides incarnated into planet Earth. Well, they don't need to. Guides don't need to incarnate anymore. They accumulate enough wisdom, they're done. Yeah, they come to planet Earth to help kind of tip the scale, because we are not good doing good. And if we continue to not do good, more September 11 going to happen, more natural disaster going to happen, and eventually we will destroy ourselves, as opposed to going to that beautiful direction that you mentioned, Mark. So I hope I answered your question, dear.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Yeah, kiss Skylar for me.
I will. And Denise says hello. Say hello.
Thank you.
Have a great
day. Hello, Ronnie. Hello. Thanks, Denise, for joining.
You're okay.
What we got, honey? Let me see the time.
We have 11 minutes. I'm bringing Michelle Hoffman. Question about the Soul Secrets book.
Michelle?
Hold on.
Ah. I can fix my hair. But you see me fix my hair. Michelle?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, good to hear from you, dear.
Oh, you too. And Gary's right here. Say hi, Gary.
Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for joining in. I appreciate it very much.
We're so happy that we could be here, and we're so glad you're doing this. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I love the book, Soul Secrets. Thank you for writing it. It is beautifully written.
Oh, well, there are mistakes.
Well, that's not important. It's the message that's important.
And my
question is, Mickey, in chapter 9, you talk about how our archangels contact us.
Yes.
And there's two things that has happened to me that I wanted to ask you about. One of them is the ear ringing, because that happens, and then I smell cigarette smoke around me, and there's no smoker in this house. Yeah. And with the ear ringing, I don't get a ringing, I get drumming. And it's very uncomfortable, and it'll go on for hours.
Michelle, the concept, first of all, is you say out loud that you don't like it. The problem with spirits' noises or smell or signs that are a little more physical, if you will, they cannot tell how noisy it is. I know it sounds bizarre, but they cannot. As you know, my office is upstairs and kind of, you know, the living room is downstairs. And sometimes they're too noisy. And I have to go upstairs and say, you're too noisy. In which they say, sorry. So they honestly cannot tell how noisy they are. So please tell them. That drumming is a way of ringing. I don't know what they mean by that, but is it close to ringing, or is it like drum?
It's drumming, and it's in my head, and I can't talk on the phone. I can't hear anybody speak because it's that loud.
Wow.
Sometimes it goes on for hours, and you know, it'll happen. It's been going on and off since I was about 15, 16 years old, and I'm 61 now.
Got it. I cannot pinpoint, it's not your team, and it's certainly not the archangel that claim that they do ring your ear. So did you try to tell them to lower it or stop because it's bothering you?
Yes,
And they didn't. Cover also anything that is physical, although if you have it since the 15, nothing wrong, obviously. But a lot of time, the body itself would create bizarre sensation that has nothing to do with spiritual, honey. So, you know, Michelle, you cannot possibly attract anything negative because how lovely you are. Very spiritual aware, of course. So I don't see anything negative. It's easy for me to detect if there's a negative energy because they look in a kind of a gray spot. You don't. I'm surprised it's not anyone of your team, and the archangel, like, that's not us. We just do ringing.
Yeah. Well, maybe I better get my carotid arteries checked then, huh?
Honey, please check just to kind of cover yourself, because sometimes just need a little adjustment, you'll find, Michelle. But do find out about that, honey.
Okay.
As for the smell of the smoke, that's usually a departed loved one, more specifically grandparents or uncle.
Okay.
So, if it's not familiar, you also have to remember that throughout the day, we think we're alone. Well, in fact, there are a lot of spirits around. Not necessarily has to do with us, has to do maybe with the place. Sometimes spirits simply like our energy in a specific time. So, if it's unpleasant, tell them.
Yes, it must be very difficult for them to change the fragrance, because I have asked them to come back with something like the smell of chocolate or vanilla or lavender or something that I like, but it must be difficult for them to change it.
It might be also that it would aggravate your need for sugar, Michelle. So they might scratch the chocolate.
I know.
But a really dear, 9 times out of 10, they love us. They love us, Michelle. They don't want discomfort. They don't want, at the other hand, they're desperate to appear or to make their presence known. So it's kind of like, but do ask again. And if you don't, then you have everything goodness around you, honey. So I know it might be annoying. I'm not talking about the drumming. I'm talking about the smoke. I know it's maybe annoying, but it is bliss.
Okay.
I never tell spirits, don't show yourself to me or go. I don't. I like it, Michelle. So I just, if it's somewhat pleasant, I just live with it.
Yeah, I would rather have them around, except that with the cigarette smoke, I literally get allergy symptoms, sneezing, watery eyes, and everything. But that's okay. I'd rather have them around, so I can live with it.
Mommy also real quick, this is also a reflection on you, that you are so open, which I know you are because I know you, but because of course when people tell me, wow, I see the sun, I feel the sun, that's a reflection on you. Like in a reading, if the channeling going through, it's not just reflection on the medium, it's reflection of how open the client is, the sitter is. Mm-hmm. So embrace it, be happy about it, honey.
Okay,
thank you. Check up the drumming. Go to a good doctor.
All right, I'll get it checked out. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Right.
We hope to see you soon.
Yes, bye, guys. Bye, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, guys. Oh, I had fun. Tell me if you had fun. Or rather, Clayton, I hope you did. I can get your feedback. So I know maybe, are we almost done, honey?
4 minutes. There's one more. I had fun. There's one more question if you want to wrap it up with
that. Please, yes.
What would be the reason I heard the sound of a heartbeat all night the night my brother died?
Heartbeat is the departed loved one connect to us as if that's what it was when they were on planet Earth. Rare but beautiful blessed sign. Beautiful. Once again, any signs are always positive. Very rare that I would get entities at home and, you know, Mickey come access. I mean, it doesn't happen because we have such a great protection. Naturally, we don't want to mess with voodoo doll and Ouija and drugs because then we lower our energy to one that's compatible with negative entities. But not you, beautiful people. So the heartbeat, the day die, it is him, because heartbeat, obviously, often to spirit represent the life of the physical body. Of course, he's alive and well there. So embrace it. Another thing real quick about signs is when you know who the sign belongs to, obviously here, it is the brother, tell them I know it's you. They love it. They love it when we connect the sign with them. Mention it. Even if you're not sure, Mickey, you know, it doesn't matter. Rely on your intuition, which is a system in which they communicate with us. So when I do see a sign, when I know it, Grandma and this, I tell them, thank you, Grandma, for the sign. Thank you, however. So that was your brother. Embrace it and apply all the information about the grief today to know where he is, happy and peace, I'm sure. So, yeah. I don't know if I went too much on and on. I tend to do that. Sometimes I have too much information, just on and on. Then it's hard for me to come back and focus. But I'm hoping you got some good information. I really do. That you kind of that you can apply it to any debt that don't make sense, and you know, and the grief. Obviously, there's so much massive amount of information about what's happened at the time of death and transition and dying process. I mean, so much more, which why I'm hoping that those webinars will eventually, you know, continue and I can touch a little bit more focus on a little bit more kind of a specific topics. In 2 weeks, I have another webinar about the Angels member of the team, which I'm going to touch, you know, in a nutshell who they are and what they do. So I hope you will join me then. And again, as I said at the beginning, I truly value your time. I know everyone busy. And for you to tune in and to listen to me, even if you benefit, please know that it is a support of my work and I always appreciate. So you are lovely people. I know from the name that I know a lot of you. For those of you that I don't, be well and happy and apply the information. Remain spiritual and thank you for joining in. And I do love you all. Take good care. Bye.